Is anybody on the line?
Okay, the meeting of the Taxation and Budget Reform Commission shall begin. Let's call the meeting to order, and Nancy, please call the roll.
Can you hear me? Yes. Okay, Commissioner Barney Barnett.
On the phone.
Okay, Commissioner Martha Barnett.
Here.
Commissioner Bostic. Commissioner D'Alembert. Commissioner Herodopoulos. Commissioner Hogan. Commissioner Johnson.
Here on the phone.
Commissioner Kyle. Commissioner LaCosta. Commissioner Levesque. Commissioner Levine. Commissioner Margolis. Commissioner Martinez. Commissioner Mathis.
Here.
Commissioner McKay.
Here.
Commissioner McKee.
Here.
Commissioner Les Miller.
Here.
Commissioner Randy Miller.
Here.
Commissioner Moore. Commissioner Peterman. Commissioner Riley. Commissioner Roussan. Commissioner Sansom. Commissioner Story. Commissioner Turbeville. Commissioner Wilkinson.
Here.
Commissioner Yablonski.
Here.
Commissioner Scott. And Chair Benz.
Here. Okay, folks, we do not have a quorum today. I think a combination of holidays and fog that left a lot of folks stranded. The only item that we had on the agenda that required a vote, we'll get to in just a minute, and maybe we can talk about it so we can have members ready to vote on it at the next commission meeting. But first of all, I want to thank all of you for being here. It's a great time of the year. It's Christmas time, and I wish everyone could be here, but I know it's your schedules are getting quite busy. We're also pleased to have engaged the services of Dr. Antonio Villamil. He is a former Undersecretary of the U.S. Department of Commerce for Economic Affairs, and he's going to assist us in analyzing commission proposals and to review the long-range impacts of changes to the tax structure. He's very highly recommended, and we're going to have him here for the stretch run in the last 4 months. So any questions or issues that you folks would like for him to address, please go through Susan Skelton on that, if you would. Reports of committees. How about let's have Randy Miller give us a report on the F&T committee. Commissioner Randy Miller, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Finance and Tax Committee had quite a lively debate on two issues dealing with Tabor. Commissioner Mike Hogan appeared to report on his trip to Colorado and was giving us a briefing on that and indicated he conceptually was going to file a Tabor-like proposal, as well as Commissioner Yablonski was thinking along the same lines. So we will be having that issue come back before the Finance and Tax Committee at a very near meeting, pretty close, probably the next time we meet, as soon as staff can get some information pulled together. That's about it. It's going to be a lively discussion, as the preliminary discussion indicated.
Thank you, Commissioner Miller. Any questions? Okay, the Governmental Procedures and Structure Committee. I don't think Chairman Levine is here. And I think Commissioner Mathis, can you give us a report on that, please?
Yes. The Governmental Procedures and Structure Committee met, and we actually passed out three proposals, two by Commissioner Margolis, the constitutional proposal and the statutory recommendation. And we also passed out Commissioner Les Miller's proposal on the commencement date for the regular session. We had an excellent presentation from Bob Neighbors, who gave us an excellent compilation of information on the exemptions, the exclusions, and the required local effort. And it really really gave us information that we needed to adequately and very thoroughly consider Commissioner McKay's proposal on the repeal of the exemptions and taxation, and also, the exemptions and exclusions, and also the required repealing the required local effort. And we had some lively discussion on that. We also had a presentation from Gene Adams, who is a representative of the business community, and we had a number of people provide public testimony on, again, the repeal of the exemptions and the exclusions.
Any questions? Okay, how about Commissioner Martha Barnett? Maybe you could give this report on the Governmental Services Committee. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This seems to have been a lively day among all the committees that met, because the Governmental Services Committee had a very full agenda. I'll tell you that there were several items on our agenda that we have deferred to the January meeting considering discussion of the state court system, as well as some Medicaid, ACA and Medicare health issues that will come back in January. We had an extensive presentation and discussion on water policy issues in the state of Florida, beginning with consideration of the water management districts, the regional water authorities, and the Department of Environmental Regulation Protection, how they work together. So that led to the committee asking them to come back with some proposals to us potentially for our consideration going forward. We also deferred until the next meeting a proposal on transportation funding, which we had hoped to have before us today for discussion and perhaps to vote on, but it's not ready yet. So that's an item that I think will be matured by our next committee meeting. And we had a report from Commissioner Les Miller, who chaired an ad hoc committee on Bright Futures, Florida's prepaid college plan, and a dedication of the funding that would come from the gaming compact. We really didn't have much discussion on the dedication of the gaming lottery type funds at this point because of pending litigation, but we did have a very extensive discussion of Bright Futures and the prepaid college plan, and that issue will come back to the full committee in January for perhaps a consideration of proposals and discussion.
Any questions? Thank you, Commissioner. And the Planning and Budgetary Process Committee did not meet today. Moving on the agenda, the ad hoc committee, which was charged with pushing the issue of removing the statutory cap on the number of words in a ballot summary, that committee met, and I'm going to see if Commissioner McKay might update us on where we are. We had proposed to take a vote today on this issue as a commission, but we don't have a majority. So Commissioner McKay, you're recognized, and Commissioner Miller, you're certainly recognized to chime in when you feel necessary, because you're part of that committee as well. Senator McKay, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We had our ad hoc committee had a meeting by telephone a week or so ago.
Is this mic on?
When there's no color, when there's...
We don't get a green light down here. You get which one is off.
No green light.
Okay.
You get no light.
Can you hear that, Barney? Barney?
There you go.
Yes.
Our ad hoc committee had a telephone meeting about a week or so ago, and we agreed that Senator Miller and Senator Scott would approach the Senate President with regard to removing the legislation that would allow the removal or the modification of the 75-word cap for description of constitutional amendments that's found in the statutes. That's necessary because the 75-word cap is quite problematic when you start authoring a summary. And for comparison, as comparison, the legislature's description of the constitutional amendment they approved in the last special session was 498 words. The response that Senator Miller and Senator Scott received was that President Pruitt was not particularly in favor of this, nor was he particularly opposed to it, and if it was the will of the Senate, then he would make sure that he would work to see that the bill was passed. After that, I spoke with the governor, who said he would be happy to help us because it's important that this pass the first week of the session, or else it isn't going to do this body any good. And there is justification for it passing because just as the legislature is a constitutionally authorized body that doesn't have to deal with that cap, this entity and the Constitutional Revision Commission are also constitutionally authorized, and neither of them should be hampered by that 75-word cap that applies to single-subject citizen initiatives. Senator Pruitt let Senator Scott and probably Senator Miller, although Senator Miller and I this hadn't been confirmed to me, let Senator Scott know that if, in fact, there was going to be a bill in the Senate, it should be sponsored by Senator Constantine, who expressed a willingness to do so. With one reservation, he wanted to make sure that the president wasn't opposed, and he was supposed to meet with him earlier this week, and I haven't had an opportunity to talk to him. So I think, Mr. Chairman, that the pieces are lined up on the table so that we will have an opportunity to introduce this bill both in the House and the Senate and get it heard expeditiously, and perhaps with the governor's help, as he's committed to do, make sure it passes the first week so that we won't be hampered by this artificial word limitation of 75.
Any questions of Commissioner McKay? We have a proposed proposed statutory language. I don't know if it's in your package or not, but I know Mr. Cibula has prepared that. But generally speaking, I think as we discussed this issue before, are there any strong objections to what he's talked about today? Okay. We will bring it up at the next commission meeting and hopefully pass that language.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, here it is. Yes, here it is. Go ahead, Commissioner
McKay. In the interim, I have asked our staff, Susan and Tom, to transmit this information to both Senator Constantine and the Ethics and Elections staff in the Senate to get the bill drafted and get it introduced, et cetera, et cetera.
Great.
Perhaps, Mr. Chairman, it would also be appropriate if you could ask the staff to do that with the appropriate person in the House, I assume Senator Constantine's counterpart.
Sounds good. We will do that. Any questions? Okay. How about if we have our Executive Director, Susan Skelton, talk about the next meeting dates? I think you have more specifics on time and so on, don't you?
Well, first of all, the Finance and Tax Committee has requested a special time and meeting on January the 10th. That will be a meeting from 1 to 6 p.m. on January the 10th in room 301. Then we would anticipate a regular set of committee meetings. Time still not announced, but similar to what we've been going through in these last couple of meetings where you have the committees have a longer period of time than the TBRC on the 11th. Then we would anticipate that on January 17th, we'd have a full day of committee meetings, and hopefully we'll be in the position by January the 18th for the TBRC to begin taking up proposals in a morning meeting. The 25th of January would be an additional committee time frame. The 30th would be another opportunity for a full TBRC meeting, both to discuss proposals and also to discuss the results of January 29th ballot issues. And then we anticipate additional meetings at a minimum for January 12th and 13th.
and February 12th and 13th and February 25th and 26th. We will continue to try to add meetings whenever locations and dates become available as needed by the committee or the full commission.
And I will tell you, those dates are minimum dates. There may be more, depending on how quickly we move on the January the 10th and January the 11th, as well as the 17th and 18th, because we're, how many proposals are we up to now, Susan?
Mr. Chair, we have 20 proposals that are actually filed. We have probably about 50 or more that are in the pipeline. And members, if you have received proposals for review from staff, please let us know if you determine you're not going to file them, or if you are going to file them, please let us know as quickly as possible what your preferences are on the language so we can move those ahead through the referencing and committee process.
I think it's time to put a, you know, at our last meeting we talked about a pretty strong deadline at the end of this month getting your proposals in, December 31st. It's going to be rather slow around here for the next 2 weeks. It might be a little bit difficult to get things done. And I'd like to propose today that, well, I guess we can't vote on issues because we don't have a majority, but that January 15th be the absolute drop-dead last date you can do a proposal, January 15th. The door closes on that date. We have to have a date certain. Unless someone objects, I would suggest that, and if you have a different date you would like to recommend, I would certainly be willing. Commissioner Barnett?
Proposals are member
either
and
one.
Committee.
Either one. Either one.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner McKay.
There's nothing, though, in our rules that would restrict, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe there's anything in our rules that would restrict a member from filing an amendment to a...
Oh, no, that's fine.
To a joint resolution or a bill where that subject was not previously introduced.
Would you restrict that?
I think that's correct. As long as it's germane to that issue,
right.
I think, unless there's an objection to that. Now, but if it was subject to a previous proposal that died, it could not be part of that. It could not be amended onto another bill.
Unless it was different. Unless it was modified. It couldn't be identical.
Let us... I think the whole purpose is if something goes away, if something dies in committee, the whole purpose is there has to be a bill has to go away or has to keep going. If it dies in committee, I think it's dead. It does go to the, I think, organizational committee where it could possibly be resurrected. But I think the rules are fairly clear when they say that you know, an amendment cannot be the subject of a bill that previously failed. Am I correct on that, Mr. Cibula? Okay.
But if it can't be identical. It can be a similar subject. It doesn't have to be identical.
I think we need to consult. I think that should be looked at in the rules on a case-by-case basis. Let's take a look at the I think the intent of the rules of that rule was to, you know, if somebody didn't make it through committee, it's, you know, it's that issue is not there. Commissioner Mathis?
I really do share the chair's focus on pushing us forward and bringing us to some conclusions on these matters. But we have that January 29th referendum vote, which may very well change the character of
That's a good point.
Our consideration. So I would just like to suggest that maybe we move that date back maybe to mid-February, which gives us an opportunity that if we see that there's some things we need to do in light of the January 29th vote, that we have the time to do it thoughtfully.
I could certainly, again, I'm just throwing it out for grabs. Commissioner Miller, you recognize.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Mathis, I do understand what you're saying with the January 29th date, but one thing you got to take into consideration that once legislative committee start meeting January 7th, bill drafting gets really, really bogged down. They will be doing a lot of drafting of bills for the legislature. So let me say that you might want to consider, Mr. Chairman, that any individual members or commissioners' thought process ideas might be January 15th for a deadline, but maybe a committee's work might be later.
Mid-February?
February, taking into consideration what Commissioner Mathis just said about the January 29th.
Well, and we can't vote anything today anyway because we don't have a majority. Any more comments? Commissioner Miller, you're recognized.
Mr. Chairman, I am concerned about the 15th date also because we don't know what's in the pipeline yet. We haven't seen what his other commissioners have filed. We don't know what the other committees are doing. And at some point, I think the 15th may be a little early.
Okay. Commissioner Barnett, you're recognized. Nope.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, good. With regard to the rules and how they treat proposals that have been killed in a committee.
How about just didn't pass through the committee? It's nicer.
Failed to gain support.
Right. Those that still have life in them, but not much. for those proposals, whether they're committee proposals or individual member proposals, I thought, and I'd like maybe Tom to discuss this now or at the next meeting, I thought our rules contemplated that those would be submitted to the commission, but with the notation that they were being sent forward with a recommendation they not be approved. I thought there were a series of votes our committees could take short of approval or disapproval. And that was one question. The other was, if it's been referred to multiple committees and there's been one committee that voted in favor of the proposal, perhaps and amended it, and another that voted against it, then you may have a conflict there. So the absolute statement that if a committee votes it down, it's dead, I did not think was what our rules contemplated, although I didn't bring them with me to check today.
And I think it occurred in our Orlando meeting when we had a great deal of debate over that issue, Commissioner Barnett, and I don't think you were present.
It was not
intended to do it while you weren't there, but there was a great deal of debate. And at the end of the day, the decision was made to, if a bill fails to pass, it's sent to the organizational committee where it's held. And if the organizational committee, A, chooses to meet, and B, votes to send it on to the next committee, it can do that, and the bill is back alive again. That was sort of the relief valve that we talked about. And because I'm one of those people that lives in certainty, and I think if something doesn't pass, it doesn't pass. I mean, that was the feeling of the commission that day. And Mr. Sibula, could you comment on that as well?
I'm happy to. What the rules provide is that if something passes favorably through all the committees of reference, it must go before the full commission. But if it fails in a committee, it's available for the coordinating committee to recommend to the chair to place it on the agenda for the full commission. So it's not exactly dead, but it doesn't have a right to come to the full commission. But things that do pass will come for a vote at some point in time.
And with respect to if it passes one committee and doesn't pass another, if it passes in the first committee and it has two references but fails in the second committee, then it would go to the coordinating committee after that. But no more bites at the apple unless the coordinating committee chose to send it forward. Commissioner McKay?
I wanted to ask, Mr. Chairman, I think the only person that's present today that has ever been on the Constitutional Revision Commission is Commissioner Barnett. I wonder if she could tell, were you there, Commissioner Mathis? Okay. Perhaps both of you can let us know how the Constitutional Revision Commission handled that. Or did you all even have committees? I don't know.
It's my recollection.
You're recognized.
Am I good? Okay. My memory is failing me the older I get, and that was about almost 10 years ago. But it's my recollection that it had the optional, that the committees could, there were committees, and that they could vote them, submit them with approval, disapproval, amendments, or without recommendation, or with recommendation it not be approved. There was a series of things, and I think our initial rules picked up and mirrored a lot of that, but I could be wrong, but that's my recollection.
Further discussion? Commissioner Mathis,
well,
you recognize.
My recollection was that we had a very lengthy discussion about the consideration of proposals before the Constitution Revision Commission, and we decided that commissioners had dedicated their time to the CRC, and that it was important that if a particular commissioner wanted to have the full commission consider any proposal, that proposal would then be considered by the full commission. That has not been the stance of this commission, but the CRC had decided that they would hear any proposal that any commissioner wanted the full commission to consider. And it provided for an opportunity for extensive debate on particular issues that maybe didn't pass out of a committee because of maybe the structure of that committee, but that each commissioner was able to have their particular matters brought before the full body and fully debated and fully aired and voted on.
Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner McKay, you're recognized.
The legislature works so much on precedent. Perhaps in this case, even though I'm sure you're correct, we decided otherwise in Orlando, perhaps it would be wise to reconsider that. I know we can't do it today because we don't have a quorum, but perhaps it would be wise to reconsider that using the Constitutional Revision Commission as our precedent.
Well, you know, when we have a full quorum, then we'll talk about it. I mean, at some point in time, you got to get it going. It's time for the show to go. And I hate to see us spend 2 hours debating rules in January, but we certainly can do that if we choose to. More debate,
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner McKee, you're recognized.
Thank you. I think there's a certain irony to this. The rules discussion we had in Orlando, where Tom's recollection of that in terms of what we agreed upon was in fact what we agreed upon. The words that were used there were that once it's dead and it's time to move on. Commissioner Mathis and I were on the losing end of that discussion. And now the discussion we're having is whether or not what we decided at the rules meeting should be resurrected again, which is in fact what the purpose of that discussion was. So to reiterate the prevailing side's position, when it's dead, and I think we should move on with what we agreed at the rules meeting. As you said to me, Commissioner McKee, read the rules. Once we decide upon them, they are the rules.
We can talk about next meeting. Any more issues or discussion or debate to come before this robust body? If not, thank you for your time yesterday, today, well, I guess today in this case, and I wish all of you have very good holidays. Thank you for all your hard work this year, and get ready because it starts up again in January. Thanks a million.
When is the wedding?
Bye-bye.
The 29th.
29th of December, so it's coming up.
So, when's he graduate?